At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about relationships and dating over 50. Our special guest is a return guest, a friend to Guys Guys Radio, the amazing Silke Schwarzkopf, the creator, host, and producer of Second Act TV, the YouTube sensation. And I've been a guest there many times on Silke's show, and we talk about all things relationship. Over 50, I kind of represent the guys, and Silke's been kind enough to come on our show a few times, and today we're going to talk about really 10 things that men wish women would know about them for guys over 50, and 10 things that women wish that guys knew about them when over 50. And things change, you know, it's really the boomer culture, and the boomers grew up, and I'm one of them, dating in a different way than people date today. We didn't have online dating until, you know, the last 20 years ago, and a lot of people were married by then. It was old school where you had to approach somebody organically, and, you know, online dating has gone from, you know, some emails back and forth to texting to now swiping, and it's just so fast. It's really all about speed, and sometimes we miss out on getting to know somebody because it's a very disposable practice now. Dating is like, you check people out. You maybe have a virtual date now before you even meet them in person. But, you know, nothing really happens until you meet somebody face-to-face. When you meet somebody organically, offline, in the real world, that's when you know if there's chemistry there. And you can have all that other stuff going between your texts and your anything you do together online or a virtual date or whatever. But it's not going to really count, in my opinion, until you get face-to-face with somebody and really get to know who somebody is. So we're going to talk about, you know, dating as a boomer and some of the things that, because of all the changes we've gone through in our lifetime for boomers, what men wish women knew about how they feel and what they believe in and about dating and relationships, and what women wish that guys really understood about them, because, you know, it's a whole different ballgame now. Listen, people over 50, there's 50% of the people over 50 are single. Some of them by choice and some others, but dating can be tough. If you've been married for 20 years or so and you're back out there in the dating pool, hey, it can be daunting. It can be challenging. So we're going to get into all of that. Some of the things that we wish that our prospective partners need to know about where we're at. Now, everything, these are generalizations. These are based on my experience in dating. I dated until I was in my early 50s. I got married once. I'm still married and I'm happy. And Silke, her experience is a little bit different than mine, which is good. And we're going to talk about how things are different nowadays than for other people. Silke interviews so many experts on dating, and I've interviewed so many experts on dating that I think between the two of us, we've heard a lot of the same things, and there's not one size fits all, and we're going to make some, you know, generalizations, if you will, based on our experiences and what we've heard, but that doesn't mean that's right in every single situation. So it's for fun, it's for discussion, it's to keep us thinking, and hopefully with a goal of bringing people together and kind of bridging that communication chasm that so often happens when people are dating at any age. So Guys Guys Radio, my special guest, return to the show, Silke Schwarzkopf. We're going to have a terrific conversation, so hang in there.
The station that makes you feel good.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio at the interportion of our show, and we've got a very special return guest, a friend of Guys Guys Radio, the host of the extraordinarily popular Second Act TV YouTube show for relationships and all types of things for folks over 50. My friend and somebody I do a lot of work with on Second Act as well as on Guys Guys Radio, Silke Schwartz, host and producer of Second Act TV. Welcome back, Silke.
Thank you, Robert. I always love being here. And yes, you are one of our favorite guests. And thank you for all your time and stuff you do on Second Act.
Well, make sure, everybody, you check us out on Second Act, plus all the other terrific guests that Silke hosts. And make sure you subscribe while you're there also. YouTube, Second Act TV. So today, we're gonna talk about relationships over 50, as we often do on Second Act TV. And what we're going to do is, you know, we're not judging and saying people, men and women, are all that different in that they're human. But there are things, let's face it, men don't know that much about women and women don't know that much about men, no matter what the age is. But we're going to focus on over 50. So we've both made a list of 10 things that we wish the other opposite sex knew about how we think, feel, and act. So let's start off right from the beginning with number one. We're going to go with Silke. 10 things that women want men to know about them that they probably don't know. So let's start with number one, and I'll turn it over to you, Silke.
Well, you know what? For some reason, what hits me first when you ask me to think about this is a sense of humor. That people don't, a lot of people don't understand, or maybe they do, but that when you can make someone laugh, there's an immediate engagement that you form. You're on the same page, and there's actually studies that show that a man who can make a woman laugh, she will be more romantically attracted. There's just something about humor and being able to laugh together that's very, very attractive to women. So, and you don't have to be a comedian. That's not what I'm talking about.
It's but not just like Billy, ability. Not like Billy Crystal or something.
No, like no. You just have to be light and just pleasant and be able to laugh even at yourself.
Is that important? Self-depreciation, is that a big thing?
Deprecating
deprecation. Sorry.
Good question. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. You can laugh at yourself without putting yourself down. So in fact, since you brought it up, deprecating, you know, over and over and over again is actually a big turnoff. We had a segment on that where we talked about that huge turnoff.
Mm-hmm. But when we talk about the women are interested in guys having a sense of humor, it's about kind of an attitude of having life being fun.
Exactly.
Not about making fun of people. Correct.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good clarification.
Okay. Let's start with number one for what women need to know about men over 50 and probably at any age. And once again, we're not saying men and women are all that different, although they do not understand each other all that well. So there must be some differences in experience and perspective. So number one that I put together is men need to feel appreciated and valued. And I think what happens with all the changes happening in our world and long overdue recognition of women, The tide has turned. And as things happen in our culture, they turn very quickly. And a lot of guys that I've talked to don't feel that they're just taking it on the chin right now. They don't feel that they're appreciated or valued. I have a friend who was married for over 20 years. And he told me, as men sometimes confide in one another when it's a very big thing, that he and his wife at were splitting up. And I asked him why. And it seemed to be that the issue was he wasn't being appreciated. He didn't feel valued. She didn't think he was funny. He just didn't feel like, he felt like he was being taken for granted. And of course, nobody, either sex, wants to be taken right. for granted. But in this case, I think it's a current issue where men really want to feel like they're being valued and appreciated. What do you think about that, Silva?
Absolutely. This comes up on our show all the time. That's one of the number one things men, write about, or that's an answer. A lot of the male guests, the counselors, etc., I've had on the therapists, that's the feeling appreciated is like right up here on the top that women need to know. And like you said, it goes both ways, but I think maybe a little bit more even on the male side, when they do something that they're proud of or do something for you, show appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Just a little acknowledgement is right. usually good enough.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, all right, let's move to the next one. I'll throw it back to you, Silke. Number two on the top 10 things that women wish men knew.
Well, and I just want to
need to know.
Saying this is not necessarily for me in any order of importance. Mm-hmm. These just kind of came up. I wrote them down and wanted to share. Sort of to your point about appreciation, respect, that the woman, we want to be respected. We don't want to feel, like you said, taken for granted. And it's not just about even showing respect for us, but also for other people, just being a respectful person. How respect plays out, I think, in romantic relationships is if you don't respect who you're with, you can't like them. Think about that. Do you respect people or do you like people who you don't respect? And that, incidentally, I'll skip ahead. Liking someone, women want a man who they like, not love. I mean, they want to love him too, but who they actually like and want to spend time with. So I apologize for skipping ahead, but those two kind of went together.
No. Let's get into that. So what are some of the ways that men can show the respect that they need to for women and also have a sense of likability, to be likable? What can guys do to be likable and how can they show respect?
Well, one of the best ways is to listen to women. probably that should be a point by itself is, the willingness to listen. Women want to be heard. That's where a lot of arguments go off the rail or start, how men and women communicate. And if you, it's so simple for men to actually show appreciation or engage a woman simply just by, tell me about that. Tell me more. without being goofy about it. But if you're asked for your opinion, if you're heard, that goes a long way to a woman, being interested.
Let's follow that because I have one in that vein, and that is men don't necessarily, during arguments and disagreements, men mm-hmm. like to kind of, our style is we hear you out, we have our opinion, we express it, and then you either agree or disagree, and maybe you can find some common ground. And that's mm-hmm. about it. And then we tuck it away, we file it away into, we disagree on this, or maybe we've found some type of common ground, or we just disagree or we agree. That's it.
That's all men want, is what you're saying.
So yes. My point is, during arguments and disagreements, men don't really want to go down the rabbit hole with you. And often what happens is we've expressed ourselves and our partner will say, we want to keep going with that. Mm-hmm. And then it sometimes feels like no matter what you say then as a guy, you're going to be wrong or criticized. So like, why just keep going with that? Because how is that going to solve anything by continuing to discuss something that has already become a sore point and now is becoming a sore point because of how the argument is being processed and experienced?
I all I can say to that, Robert, is you're right. I don't have even an equivalent to that. I think that is one thing that women absolutely need to be aware of. And I'm pointing to myself. I have a tendency to do that, or certainly had. It's one thing that I've worked on. But yeah, we do. We want to go down the route. We also remember a lot more than men do, I think. Maybe something I need to ask you, but we tend to bring up the past in current arguments or you know, conversations. And I know men don't appreciate that either. So my answer to you is that you're absolutely right. This is something women need to understand. And yeah, it's a really good point to bring up. I don't know what the equivalent would be that I have here. Maybe emotionally stable. That women like men who are emotionally stable. What do we mean by that? You know, people who don't fly off the handle during an argument, who can process an argument, communicate open and honestly. So some of it is, you know, like, duh. But I think the word emotionally stable is a good one to think about.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very fair. And a lot of times in the heat of an argument, things sometimes with guys, they try to keep a lid on it. And then it gets to a breaking point where it's like, what else can I say? This is how I feel about this. You want to know how I feel? I'm expressing my feelings. That this is it. I hear what you say. And maybe you repeat what they say, that you feel this way. And then that seems to be it for the time being. But yeah. You know, trying to table an argument, let's get back to this tomorrow or something, that doesn't seem to work. From male perspective, from my perspective, I haven't seen that working. And also the dragging up the past is, to me, not being in the present. And it's an unfair way to argue or disagree, because it's really, you know, there might be some relevance in terms of similar actions that have taken place, but it's really annoying, because you want to be you want to feel that once you've gotten over the hump with a disagreement and you've expressed yourselves or you've come to some type of agreement on it, then that's not going to be thrown in your face again. And other things, because then that becomes really, and then you definitely don't want to get into discussions or anything, because all these other things are going to come back again. And I don't feel as a guy that that's fair. And I've experienced that many, many, many times over the years. It just seems to be symptomatic. And I don't know why. So why do you think that is? And is it a thing? Is it a woman thing, or do guys do that too? I guess so.
I don't think guys do. I mean, I haven't had it done to me. Let's put it that way. If I just speak from personal experience, I would say no, I haven't had, because, well, for the reason that you said, guys don't really want to go down that rabbit hole or bring stuff up, because it brings back negative stuff. I think it can be, you know, again, we're not speaking for everybody here, but for this woman, that's something, again, also I had to work on. I've had to work on so much since I started Second Act, when I realized all this stuff that's going on. But sometimes I bite my tongue. And it's like, okay, we've already been here. I'm not going to bring it up again. Just stop it, Silka. So I think
how do you feel about that? That you bite your tongue? Is that something that you're forcing yourself to do as a good thing, or like you're shutting yourself off and you don't like that?
No, it's a good thing. Ultimately, I know it's a good thing, and it's ego driven. It's absolutely ego driven. If I were to say that, it wouldn't do any good other than me saying it and being right somehow. Or you know, bringing up ammunition to be right in a certain disagreement or argument. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. My special guest on Guys Radio today, return guest, host of the explosively popular Second Act TV on YouTube, host and interviewer and producer, Silke Schwarzkopf. Thank you so much for being here, Silke.
Thank you. I love being here.
Let me put another one on the table here. Men often struggle with change. And I think that's something that women know, but if they don't know, they need to know that a lot of times guys get into a groove, and if things are working, they don't change. And change is usually turns out to be a good thing. And takes some guys longer than other guys to deal with change. I have a problem with change. My wife doesn't have a problem with change. So she always gives me some time. Like before we moved out west, I got an extra year to kind of get all my stuff together, which I needed. Then we made the move, and we made the move just at the right time. But I needed that extra time. And for her, and I think for a lot of, maybe it's not a male female thing at all, that, but I know with guys, a lot of guys that I know, even myself, change comes with some difficulty and trepidation.
I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot on the show, that's something others have brought up. that guys don't deal well with change. They do like being in a comfortable situation. They don't want it to change. Again, not speaking for all men. It'd be interesting to hear in the comments what men think. Let us know. I think that women are more able, this is an opinion, it truly is, but I think we've just been, especially as older people, we were raised to be adaptive to change, especially to a man. So for us, it's almost expected that things are going to change. You know, where with men, I think they expect things to change or to stay the same more. I'm generalizing, I totally understand that, but I think maybe that contributes to that dynamic.
Well, let's follow up on that, and I'll do two because it comes right out of this. Men are confused about kind of their expectations now and their roles, and that has to do with change a lot also, because kind of if it ain't broke, like, why fix it? But there is a lot that has been broke culturally and in society about the role of men and women, or expectations, if you will. So now guys are seeing the long overdue recognition and success of women, and it's great. And I always say this is the greatest time ever to be a guy. If you're a good guy, if you're a guy's guy, it's perfect time because women are so much more approachable, available, they can lead, they can do a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be all on your plate, but we have to be able to change. And for guys, they get confused about change and get confused about what is the expectation now for what's a guy supposed to be. Oh, you want to, you have to express your feelings, but a woman doesn't want a guy, their partner crying all the time. And yet you never think twice unless like, oh my goodness, I've hurt her. Or why is she crying? Like when a woman cries, it's not as big a deal as when a man cries, it's like, wow, that must be something really big. When a woman cries, of course, it's something really big, but it seems like it's more, you know, there's more frequency, if you will. I think that's a fair comment. And this is just grandma's research here. And with just as our opinions and from our experiences as hosts, as listening to other experts and just from living.
Well, okay, so a couple things that I heard in there. One is I agreed with everything you said. I just want to clarify one point you made, and that you said that women are more approachable and available. And I think, I don't know exactly what you meant by that, but I think most men, and I will agree, would say that's not the case. Because of the cultural changes, women are much less approachable, and men don't know how to approach women. We've done a lot of segments on that, is how women need to help men approach. You know, that women almost have to take the lead in that. And I think maybe that's what you meant, is that women are more willing So I want to clarify that.
No, you're absolutely right to do that. You're absolutely right. What I meant was, it's like that women are open, but men are feeling that they have to be careful. They're not sure what to say. And it's another point, due to wokeness and so many other cultural changes, men are hesitant about expressing their beliefs, how they feel, and even approaching women because they don't want to do the right thing or get called out on it or get canceled or whatever. So I think the good news is, if guys see things through the right lens, is that women are open and are available. If you're friendly and you're a good person, and you know, not everybody's different, of course, but for the most part, it's easy to approach women if you come from a good place. But guys are all like, they're all overthinking everything now because of what's happening in our culture. And some of it is true that they need to be careful, more careful. But on the other hand, you want to still be kind of breezy and open and just be friendly and enjoy life.
Tease somebody, maybe knock. I mean, it is difficult. I mean, I totally just agree that it is really difficult. And I feel sorry for men in that department there. It is very confusing. And some women have taken it way over the top, mostly the younger people. I don't want to pick on anybody, but it's just, like I said, we're speaking in generalities, what has happened. And some of what I read out there is like, oh my gosh, where is dating and romance? You know, where is it going?
Fun. Used to be fun, right?
Yeah. And to that point, when you said men crying or women crying, the whole whole vulnerability part. And I have vulnerability that women want vulnerable men, but I put that on there only because it comes up so often that I thought it would be a good discussion as part of our talk today. Because do women really want vulnerable men? And what does that mean? What does vulnerability mean to you? Because if it means, you know, you're crying or sharing your weaknesses, and be careful. Women might say they want that, but once you, it's very, very hypocritical. I mean, what do you think about that, Robert?
It's a tricky subject because on one hand, and I think you'd agree with this, that women want with the guys, they want to feel kind of safe, and they want some type of security, secure feeling there. Mm-hmm. And so like, kind of like he's got this, you know, my guy, he's got this. Mm-hmm. Then when the guy who, you know, you want to put on a little bit of a pedestal and say, he's kind of my quote unquote protector. I don't want to make it too serious, but he gives me a sense of security. I feel good and safe around him. And then he's telling me all the stuff that makes him sound like a wuss, you know? And you say, oh, well, but you know, the fact of the matter is people are people and they're human beings and everybody has feelings and vulnerabilities. Maybe the word vulnerable is not the right word, and not from you, but just to describe this thing. And maybe it's about emotional availability, emotional intelligence, and being able to express yourself in a way that doesn't mean you just like, oh, everything's terrible, but you'd be able to talk about things in a way that has some sense of, I've got hold of the situation, but these are some of the things I'm concerned about, or these are some of the things I'm witnessing and watching and preparing and doing. You know, you want to be on your best foot and be positive about everything, mm-hmm. but you need to be kind of a realist also, whether it's in how you invest or, you know, how you live your life, how you spend your money, how whatever you do, you have to have some type of responsibility in that.
Yeah. What I would caution or advise men to do is not be authentic in your vulnerability or how you express emotions. And if you are, you know, if that comes easy to you, great. That makes you probably more of a healthy, you know, mentally, what am I trying to say? Mentally healthy person if you are able to express that. But it's very obvious if you're doing it to be vulnerable. And I think that's showing up here and there. Like for example, like Paul, he doesn't show emotions. I mean, it's golf and sports and the, his father just passed and appropriately so was emotional in the past and cried and it was touching, it was engaging, it was attractive. So you know what? I think the equivalent to that, what men would say they don't want drama. I think that they do want a woman's emotions, but not the drama. And I think maybe that might be a way of explaining the dynamic of that.
Let's flip it around. So from a woman's perspective, she wants the guy to express his feelings, but she doesn't want his drama. Is that what you're saying? Or just
no,
the opposite?
I'm saying, definitely don't want drama from men, but I was saying that men often express they don't want drama in their lives. Uh-huh. And drama is associated with women primarily. And that's what I'm bringing up. And a lot of people will disagree with me on this and they have, and that's okay. That, you know, we just talked about
that. Men want drama?
No. That about the vulnerability that men or that women don't really want vulnerable men, you know, it's the extent, it's how you define it and what that means to you. And, you know, if I do, you know, trigger some people here, then it's a good thing to think about. It really, really is. Because not only does it go to what do men and women want, but also the whole importance of expressing emotions and how to do so in a healthy way, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes to another one of your points, Selka, if you don't mind, I'll bring it up because it comes right out of this. And that is, women want men to be confident and humble, not arrogant or self-centered, if you will, kind of comfortable in their own skin.
Right.
Talk to us about that.
Well, there's nothing more attractive, I think, than sexy people or sexy people. Nothing more attractive and sexy in people, period, than confidence. There's just something about a confident person that's attractive, and especially a man. Insecurity in that is not appealing. And with confidence comes, or what we mean by that, excuse me, is not, that doesn't mean bragging or boasting or always taking the center of attention. Again, you can be confident without ever saying a word and just listening. You don't talk. That's a horribly unattractive quality, is people in general who only talk about themselves and their achievements and how great they are. And sometimes men interpret that's I have to tell you how good I am. And that's not attractive.
Well, we get into this thing with dating in particular, particularly on kind of early meetings, where kind of sometimes what happens, again, a generalization.
Right.
Women are doing their qualification and they have their must-haves and they have their list and they have their questions. Mm-hmm. And so the guy feels like he has to talk about himself, and kind of it's like a job interview.
Yes.
And then it's not a comfortable situation, because you're reinforcing the things that you don't want. You don't want the guy to just keep talking all the time. And the guy doesn't want to be quizzed all the time, though he doesn't mind being asked about how he feels about certain things. So it has to be handled very delicately. And this is one of the most important parts of dating, is at the beginning part, where it can implode very quickly. And the opportunity can be over before it starts, because of the tendency to turn it into an interview and have both people kind of get turned off by the results of that.
I fully agree. And the whole list thing can bite you in the butt, so to speak. It's the interview process of a first date. People do fall into that. And that, I've talked about it with other things. That's a mistake. We have some excellent videos on asking the right questions versus questions that will turn someone off. And so my advice to men, since I'm speaking about what women want, if that does happen to you, if the woman, and she may be nervous, that's why first dates are, so nerve-wracking anyway, you may be nervous about the questions you're asking, but just throw it back on her, what do you think? Or just don't go down that route. Don't keep talking, and just focus on making it an equal contribution. There was a recent article, I think I even did it with you, where one of the suggestions from like a matchmaking company. They said that if you went on a first date and you didn't, or the woman just kept talking, she didn't say anything. I mean, it was just the opposite advice about who should talk or not talk on a first date. And it needs to be
a conversation. What often happens is the woman has her list and the guys kind of wing it usually and just go by the vibe, and a lot of times by looks and just how she sounds, things like that. And the woman has some mustaches, doing a much more prudent process about qualifying. Who is this guy, wasting my time or what? Does he have a job? Does he have this? Does he have that? Is he kind? And it's all about another one of your points, being a good listener. She wants to be heard, you say. She wants a man who is present when he's with her. He's not checking his phone, watching football, of course. Mm-hmm. But also, this is like about the early dates becoming a conversation, not a series of questions and answers, which is very close-ended. And I think what you were suggesting, like, how do you feel about that? Kind of a back and forth, kind of natural, as people would, you want people to talk. But when it gets into the dating scenario, it's all these rules come up. And it's like, we're on the clock here. So I've got to find out all this stuff about you, mister. And he's like, I've got to answer these questions so I get to the next date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's a whole segment in and of itself, is the dynamics of conversation, what to say, what not to say, what really is important to know on a first date to you or not. We can definitely go down the rabbit hole on that, that one.
Well, I think, of course, for people under 50, they have troubles when they meet in person, I think, sometimes, because they spend so much time online. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the dating, the dating dance, if you will, takes place through texts and, you know, maybe an email, God forbid, but usually some text back and forth or swiping, whatever. By the time you meet, you know, you have to show up in life. And so when you show up on a date, then you're on, it's on. You're seeing the person face to face in, you know, offline, not on the computer screen. Mm-hmm. And it becomes challenging for people over 50. They're used to that. But a lot of them have been out of dating for so long based on long-term marriages falling apart, never being married, death or whatever, mm-hmm. that the dating becomes getting back into that at a certain age, if you will, even though half the people over 50 are single, mm-hmm. becomes intimidating.
Oh, very, very. So, and security, insecurity riddled. It can be tough. Absolutely can. But, you know, that's why we do these segments, because we can make it. It doesn't have to be that tough if you just sort of understand what goes on in each other's mind, and that you're probably, you know, the man sitting in front of you talking to women now, or, well, I guess vice versa, that they're probably just as nervous as you are.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, host and producer of Second Act TV on YouTube, one of our favorite shows. Check it out. I'm there a lot with Silka. Yep. And, we have a ball helping people out and just chopping it up and having great conversations like this one. Today, we're talking about kind of a list of things that men and women need to know about each other to kind of bring them together and be able to communicate the way we want to communicate. Mm-hmm. So here's another one that I came up with, Silka. I want to get your perspective on this. For men, money can be a sensitive subject. Like on one hand, you know, women want men to have some financial security, and sometimes guys lean on their wallet as to their value.
Yes.
And women don't necessarily think all the value in a guy is in his wallet. They want the guy to have some bank, but mm-hmm. they don't want to hear about it and have it thrown in their face. And like they're the whole bank and I'm not, or whatever. So it becomes a sensitive subject. So some guys throw it around too much, and other guys who don't have it, they're very sensitive about it, mm-hmm. because, well, maybe she has more money than me. And is that going to be an issue? And it's just a new area where, because mm-hmm. the roles have changed, as yeah. they should, right. things have to evolve, that money has become kind of a tricky type of subject, mm-hmm. particularly for guys.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to the money thing, and a lot of women, you know, are accused of, you know, oh, that she just wants a sugar daddy, or, you know, looking for, you know, if you don't have any money, just forget about dating. And that is absolutely not true. There are, now, are there women out there who are like that? Absolutely. There's people out, you know, we're talking about people who actually want to date and meet someone and you know, for the, I'm going to say it, the right reasons. And when it comes to money, one, I don't think you should ever talk about it, really. It's nobody's business. Of course, I was born, raised, you know, I'm German, very concerned. You know, it's nobody's business what I have, what I don't have. What's important is that I'm fiscally responsible, that I pay my debt. I don't, you know, and well, especially after 50 of divorce, you know, it's, and man, you know, you get hit hard and you may be in a situation that is not really, I won't say your fault, but it's something that you're working at least to get out of. It's taking the responsibility for wherever your finances are, is that you are fiscally responsible and fiscally stable, or at least working towards that. And the comments have come up a lot on our channel is from men, you know, I just start dating this woman and it's obvious she has a lot more money than I do. I'm comfortable with that. How do I handle it?
And that's a great question.
Yeah.
And what's the answer? What are you?
Well, the answer is that one, you want to maybe express that, you know, it depends on where you are in the relationship. When you first meet, you know, first you have to establish that you even want to be together, that this is somebody you really like and you want to spend time with. And then as you spend more and more and more time together, then you put boundaries around that. If the woman really, truly doesn't mind paying for, like, say I want to go travel. I'm the one I want to go travel. I really want to go, you know, off for 3 months and do this, and I have no trouble paying for that. Well, if I want you to go with me, and if I have the means, why not? Because I love this person, or I really, really like this person. He's fun, and that would be fun. So why not? That to me, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, some men, if they can't quote handle that, then just, I guess, define what we will do or won't do, or where we will live, because this bothers me, and I couldn't go on like that. But it's an interesting topic because more and more and more that is in fact happening, mm-hmm. that the woman is the one who has more money.
What do most women have to say about that? Are you speaking from an aggregation of hearing these opinions from women and your guests and experts, or is this Silke's point of view? Or what do you hear most women saying about this?
Well, I think that fiscally responsible is a woman's point of view, more women. What I expressed about handling it with, if you make more money, is probably more Silke opinion, because mm-hmm. I've come, it's not me, but I have very wealthy friends who are in that situation. You know, they're self-made women, they're doing really well, and the men they're with are great guys, but they don't make as much. And so I've seen how they've handled it, and it works. You know, it mm-hmm. works. You have to maybe check your ego a little bit, but you should, like what you said earlier, your wallet shouldn't be your entire worth, so to speak, anyway. So maybe that's a good growing up thing, or you know, working on yourself thing for men.
And that's, you know, that's something that has been ingrained in our culture from mm-hmm. when the boomer guys were growing up, and a lot of them are hanging their hats on that. It's the money and the power. And mm-hmm. A lot of them now, as things are waking up, quote unquote, yeah. Asking, what else is there? How can I develop more of a person? And I think that women are really interested in guys who are interested in becoming more than what society has defined them as, in terms of, here's your values. How you have this amount of money and this amount of power versus you're this type of person, and you're growing and evolving, which I think most of the women I know think that's attractive also, mm-hmm. because it gets pretty boring if it's just about, and it can be diminished, the bank and the job and the power, because at a certain point, a lot of people get kicked out in the corporate jobs, or they have enough money, they don't have to work, or whatever.
Yeah. It's, yeah, money, well, you know, young, old, whatever, money always tends to be an issue. And it's just, you just have to make up your mind of how to handle it, what you can really handle, and what is worth more, having the money in your hands or in your bank, or spending it and enjoying life. And that, that sounds irresponsible, what I just said, especially if you're younger, but at our age now, and I'm 65,
wow.
So, I mean, we're getting up there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we can't take it with us. So let's enjoy that. And if that means that you pay for somebody else because you really want to do this, then it's just really money in that case, in my opinion, is a means to an end.
Mm-hmm. Well stated. Well, so much wisdom, Silke, that you have.
Oh, yes.
your own experience, plus talking to all these experts on your show. It's just amazing that what you've managed to aggregate over the last couple of years.
Let me say one thing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
it's
please.
It's important that I say this. While I'm sitting here talking like this is how it is, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm learning every day just how insecure I am actually, and how much more I have to learn. I think that's a good thing. You know, I'm learning, but I don't want to sit here like I'm the expert on all this. I'm offering a lot of my own opinion. And like you said, the aggregate information that I hear, do I follow all of it like I should? No. You know, that's again why this is important, and you have to think about a lot of this versus just taking somebody's word for it and applying it.
Mm-hmm. And what works best for you, because this mm-hmm. is not a one size fits all type right. of set of issues or world that we live in. So we're chopping it up for everybody to consider. And I think we're making some good sense on some points. But of course, audience listeners out there, viewers, it's up to you how you want to deal with it. So let's get to the big issue. Sex.
Okay.
So my point is, sex is still important for guys over 50. Mm-hmm. I don't know any guys who don't think it's important. And I certainly think it's important. And I'm over 60 and I think it's important still. And at a certain point, maybe it won't be, but it still is for me. And I think it still is for a lot of guys. And mm-hmm. we don't really talk about it with each other so much, but I think it's still an issue.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it really, well, that's another big issue or debate. Is sex important, you know, after menopause? Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm just always amazed by the stuff that's written about this, and how women have been conditioned to believe, and this includes the medical community, that after menopause, you know what, this is just normal. You're done. And I've had, well, we do a lot on sexuality after 50, 60.
Yep.
One of my newest experts, Joan Price, she's like the, they call her the sexpert, the senior sexpert. And she's really affecting that whole discussion. You know, she has a book, the Naked at Our Age, talking out loud about senior sex. Great information on there where you just realize, you know, it's not over. It's over up here more than it actually is. And the physical changes can be dealt with. There's mm-hmm. all kinds of ways to deal with them. And if I may say so, I don't know, on your show, we have to redefine in mm-hmm. some cases what sex is.
Sure.
That intercourse, I think that's an okay word. It's not, that's not, you know, that becomes an issue sometimes, but for both men and women as we age, but that doesn't mean that that's sex. There's so many other ways to work around that, if right. that is
well,
the
and
case.
The totality. I mean, intercourse yeah. is sex, but in totality, that's not the only sex. And
right, let's exactly. face it,
the biggest, and you pointed out, the biggest sex organ, and I'm pointing to my head for our listeners right there, mm-hmm. is the brain and yeah. How we see things. But it is important, and it changes because women have menopause and guys have their own challenges after mm-hmm. 50. But there are solutions for everybody. So if you want, you know, it's all about your attitude and all about your partnership. And if it's important,
yes.
I think what can happen is that one person is more into sex than the other person. And then you have to find a way. If this person is going to be thinking about sex all the time and I'm with he or she, I got to do something about it, or they may look elsewhere. And you could have a great relationship, but you're not on the same page sexually. That's right. A challenge. What have you heard? That's my last question. What have you heard about that, Silke?
Well, I've heard a lot about that. And the interesting point about that, both interesting and maybe a little concerning or even sad, is that especially a woman's sex drive, like if they got divorced with gray divorce, you know, there's so many divorces later. And the man would claim, oh my God, she was never interested, never won sex. A lot of men say that. My wife is just done. Well, if they were to actually break up and she got with someone else, this it would be totally dead. That's happening all the time.
Right,
so it's
right.
not necessarily that she's done with sex. She's done with whatever's
him.
Happening. In well, yeah. And I don't mean to say it so crass,
right.
but that is in fact what it is. Mm-hmm. Or not always, but a big part of it. I mean, that it was with me. I was married 25 years, 10 years of it was sexless. And he would tell you, oh, she was never interested in it, which sex was just done. Well, believe me, when we were done, sex was not.
Wow. Great way to end. Silke Schwarzkopf, my special guest on Second Act TV. Silke is the host and producer of this wonderful YouTube show. Please check it out. Please check out my appearances there. Please subscribe.
Yes.
Silke, tell everybody what else they need to know about finding you and your wonderful show.
Well, it just Second Act TV. It's the number 2NDACT.TV. That's the website, and the website will take you, of course, to YouTube, or just go to YouTube, Second Act TV, or if you just Google Dating Over 50, probably some of my videos with Robert will put up, pop up.
Well, thanks for being here, and I'll look for us together again on Silke's show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. Thank you, Silke.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another terrific conversation, and that was a lot of fun with Silke Schwarzkopf, host of Second Act TV. We discussed, you know, the 10 things that men wish that women knew and women wish that men knew about them when you're over 50. And I think we found that the things, people are people, and everybody's equal, and everybody deserves the same amount of respect and kindness. And people are just looking for other people that are not going to bring drama and problems into their lives. And they want to meet a partner that they can be friends with and also hopefully fall in love with and have some type of intimacy if that's what they're both interested in. And I don't think there's anything surprising about that. So things don't change that much over 50, except for circumstances, because just like you do, they have their own stuff they have to deal with. So be kind. If you enjoy the guests and content I bring you each and every week on Guys Guys Radio, please support us by subscribing to all of our channels and platforms. Thank you. I'll see you next week. And until then, remember, guys, guys, finish first.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.